Matthew chapter 13 and John 12. Okay, Matthew 13, verse 10 and following, then John 12. Okie doke, let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this passage, help us to understand why you spoke in parables, and Lord, I do pray you'd help us to avoid this same common occurrence throughout every age. Lord, help us each individually to avoid this problem that man faces, and help us to honor your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now that goes contrary to the average person's thinking. Obama thinks he's got to take from the productive and give to the non-productive. That's the socialist mindset. God says, now the idea here is the idea of knowledge, knowing something. He says, the ones that eyes are open, they know something. He said, I'm going to give them more. And the ones who have their eyes closed, their hard heart, I'm going to take it from them. They're going to lose any spiritual knowledge that they have, and it's going to get worse for them. And then, of course, notice the double negative here, 13:13. Therefore speak I to them in parables. This is why he spoke to them in parables. Because they, seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing shall they hear and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Okay, now the parallel, John 12. Okay, a little background. Remember, Matthew shows that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews, and he shows this in Matthew 3, you had the forerunner of the king. In Matthew 4, you have the temptation of the king. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the constitution of the kingdom, kingdom of heaven, referring to the millennial kingdom. Matthew 8 and 9, confirmation that he's king by all the miracles and signs, because the Jews require a sign, and so he demonstrated all these great miracles. And in chapter 12, the scribes and Pharisees said they committed the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is cannot be committed today. Okay, and the unpardonable sin was when somebody said that Jesus Christ has an unclean spirit. In Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32, that's where it's committed officially by the nation of Israel. Okay, the scribes and Pharisees said that you are Beelzebub, you're the Lord of the flies. Mark 3 just gives the easiest information on that unpardonable sin. When they said that in Matthew 12, as a nation, they were done. And that's why Jesus started speaking in parables in Matthew 13. Negative number, bad luck number, the devil's number. It's not a coincidence that it lands on 13:13. And so from then unto the rest of Jesus' ministry, he speaks in parables, meaning he tells a story that has a meaning paralleled over here. And the ones that have opened eyes get the meaning. The ones that have eyes closed don't get the meaning. They have a sneaky suspicion that the parable's about them, and they just get mad about it, but they don't get the truth of it. But when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Therefore, God gave them a second opportunity to recover from their blindness of Matthew 12 and 13. And that's where the book of Acts comes in play. Now, this passage, if you're in John 12, okay, verse 37, where we'll read. John 12:37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That's a fascinating thing, amazing statement. The testimony of dead people being risen from the dead, and the blind getting their sight, you know, deaf hearing, and all the great miracles Jesus Christ did, and these people still didn't believe in him. You say dumb. No, blind. Not dumb. Blind. Okay, verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's chapter 23 of Isaiah. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. That's Isaiah 6. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Okay, that's Isaiah 6. If you go back to Isaiah 6 and you want to take some time to look at it, Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10. God told Isaiah, okay, you're going to preach to the people in Israel, the northern tribes, and you're going to preach to them for how long, Lord? How long do I get to preach to them? Until they're blind as a bat and they won't listen to you. Really? That's not real encouraging. He said, no, but that's what I want you to do. That's a little bit better than Ezekiel's, because I told Ezekiel, you're going to preach to them and they're not going to listen to you from the start. At least they started listening to you and then they faded away. Ezekiel gets them from the start, they won't even listen to him. Now, that statement about that blinding, the process of it, is translated, recorded, cited 7 times in the New Testament. Each of the Gospels, Matthew 13, we read it, Mark, Luke, John, we read the one in John, in Mark, it's Mark 4, and the other one is Luke 8. It's mentioned at the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28, 29. It's mentioned for us in Romans 11. And it's briefly cited in Hebrews 5. Now that tells us that that idea is a common occurrence with the majority of people throughout all history. What is that? That they are absolutely blind to the ways of God. Sadly, this is plaguing the Laodicean church today, and sadly, this is plaguing almost every church today. They're absolutely blind toward the things of God. Now, blindness by itself is one thing, but having a hard heart with the blindness, that's another thing. The classic case in the Bible of somebody who hardens their heart for the unbeliever is a man named Pharaoh, who is a type of the Antichrist. Now, if you go back to Exodus, you read about this guy. The Lord foretold in Exodus 4, he said Pharaoh is going to harden his heart. And then Exodus 7, the Lord hardened his heart. Then Exodus 10, I think it is. Exodus 8, Pharaoh hardened his heart. People say, no, God hardened his heart and Pharaoh didn't have a choice in the matter. No, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He got hard. And then this guy gets so hard to the ways of God, he refused to listen to Moses. Moses could throw the rod down, turns into a snake, pick the snake up, turns back into a rod. Moses, hand in here, hand come out, leprosy, hand come back in here, can come out, healed. I'd say that'd be good enough evidence. Moses, throw water on the ground, it turns into blood. And then all the 10 plagues. You run through the 10 plagues. You talk about a slow learner. Pharaoh was not dumb. You don't become king being dumb. He's blind and a hard heart. And when you got both of those, one is well nigh hopeless. I mean, he had the 10 plagues, and the tenth and final one, he lost his own child. And then the guy took his best military men on a suicide mission right through the Red Sea. What if it dawned on him that the frozen waters standing up that they were going to thaw out and they're going to crash into him? Do you think some of the soldiers thought about that? I don't know. Lost all those men and himself died. That's a classic case of somebody hardening their heart who's an unbeliever. The classic case in the Old Testament of somebody hardening their heart that's a believer was Zedekiah. Zedekiah was one of the last kings of Israel, or Judah. Zedekiah was told by Jeremiah on several occasions, why don't you just go down and give yourself up to the Babylonians? Come on, look at their army. They're out there. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill the people. They're going to capture this country. Why don't you, if you just go out there and submit to them, you'll live your life out in Babylon, but you will live your life out as a king. Why don't you just go to do that? Jeremiah, don't tell anybody you talked to me. Please don't do that. Man, the press would have a heyday with this. And he said, just don't go tell anybody you talked to me. He said, just go out and do it. He said, no, I'm scared to do that. He said, you're scared to do anything. And Jeremiah, or Zedekiah, refused to listen to Jeremiah. And then when he, at the last instant, he got scared and took off running. And with his soldiers, you know, they hightailed it out of there. And then, of course, the Babylonian army caught him, brought him back in front of Nebuchadnezzar. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? Killed his two boys right in front of his eyes and then poked his eyes out, made him permanently blind. He was spiritually blind before that because of his hard heart, and then he became physically blind. The last thing he saw was the death of his two boys. Those Orientals know how to torture people. They know how to make something hurt for a long time. Why? Because he simply refused to humble himself by listening to a preacher, Jeremiah, who had probably 50 people listening to him. Blindness of eyes can occur without hardening of the heart, but when the heart is hardened, blindness is automatic. And the thing is, as we recognize, you walk around, you're dealing with people who are spiritually blind. I mean, it's everywhere. Americans are just oblivious to the danger that they're walking amongst. The average lost person is just oblivious to the idea that they are one heartbeat from hell. Oblivious to it. They're blind. A lot of times we get frustrated with these people. Why don't they see it? They're saying, they that dumb? No, they're not dumb. They're just blind. But why are they blind? That's the issue. Why is a person blind to it? God is the one who opens people's eyes to the truth. Luke 24, verse 31 and 32, those guys were blind when they saw Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, and he opened their eyes that they might understand the scriptures. Now, in the Gospels, you'll find several blind fellows that got healed by Jesus Christ. There are varied ways how they got healed. God is a God of variety. One got healed by being touched. One got healed by being spit on. One got healed by being spit on the ground, turned the dirt into mud. And one got healed by no touch, just by the spoken word. Four different varieties there. And that is displaying four different ways God often opens people's eyes. But people are in categories. I know people a lot of times try to label folks, but when you look at people, obviously you know two basic categories, saved and lost. That's obvious. But there are different categories I'm going to look at, and these are the categories that you find people in. Of course, sometimes you figure it out, sometimes you don't, because you and I can't read the heart. Starting from the best category down to the worst, the best category are people who have opened eyes with a humble heart for the truth. They're looking for the truth in all areas of life. They're willing to take the truth from their enemy, from their friend, from old, from young, from rich, from poor. They are seriously concerned for the truth. They want the truth. It doesn't matter the source of the truth, whether they like the guy, they don't like the guy. When they can recognize the truth, a humble heart is opened to the truth of God from whatever source it comes from. And you'd be surprised the sources God gives the truth. People may be surprised sometimes that an unsaved man can give you the truth, can witness to you. They may be surprised with that. It's funny. Bill Sneblin was given a gospel tract, and he looked at it and threw it in his drawer for years and years. And then a couple witches happened to saw that. I don't know if it was the same track he had. A couple of witches in his coven got that out and started thought that was funny and laughed about it. And he started looking at it again and got saved. God used two witches to bring him to Christ. Not only, recommend, helping witches to be soul winners, but that's what God used. Why? He gets desperate because it's hard to get his own children doing something for him. So the idea is opened eyes with a humble heart for the truth. If you would, look in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. An honest heart, this one says. An honest heart. Luke 8, 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. An honest heart. What does a person need to have in order to know the truth? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, an honest heart. A humble heart they need to have. A humble heart, a tender heart. 2 Kings 22:19, there's a guy named Josiah. He got the truth because his heart was tender. Now, this is a common thing that every one of us need to work on and need to guard is your heart, keeping it tender. Why? Because the longer you live, somebody's going to hurt you. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to hurt you bad. Be they family, be they friends, okay? Be they saved, be they lost. Somebody's going to hurt you bad. And you're going to get a hard heart. And you need to keep a tender heart. It's an oxymoron in life, in a Christian life, is you need to have a tough hide towards believers, but you need to have a tender heart towards God. And you need to keep that heart tender, even towards people. But that's a hard thing to do. Several years ago, I was witness to a very wealthy man and trying to give him the gospel and trying to get him to consider Christ. And, of course, he was trying to change the subject, didn't want to get off that, hot potato. And so he thought he'd deter me. He said, I know a Baptist guy that stole from me. Thought that that would deter me. And I just smiled and said, yeah, I know a Baptist guy that stole from me. Big deal. Jesus Christ didn't do me any harm. And he said, well, that's a good way to look at it. And I said, that's the only way to look at it. You can take that offense down to the hell with you, but what good is it going to do? We need to have a tender heart towards God. And the longer you live this Christian life, some Christian in this room is going to disappoint you, going to hurt you bad. You're going to get upset. But you need to keep your heart tender towards God. Keeping a tender heart, an honest heart, a humble heart, a holy heart. Truth is limitless to an honest, humble, and holy heart. Notice I didn't mention education in a mix of that. That's not necessary. If you know how to read and you have an honest, humble, and a holy heart, God can and will get the truth to you. As long as you keep praying, God, please open my eyes. Oh, God, please open my eyes. Open my eyes to the truth. Open thy mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Recognizing that the source of opened eyes is not you, not your intellect, not your fine godliness. The source of opening eyes is Jesus Christ only. Or in the Holy Ghost and the person of the Holy Ghost. And you'll find those blind men in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what did they do when Jesus Christ walked by? They begged for mercy. And there's times you need to beg God to open your eyes. Even people would tell, why don't you shut up? Why don't you just shut up? I'm begging for mercy. I'm asking Jesus Christ to open my eyes. And Jesus Christ opened their eyes when they begged for mercy. And so that's our part, begging the Lord to open our eyes. The second category of people, if you would look in Ephesians chapter 4, are people whose eyes are blind, but they are oblivious to the truth. This is a vast majority of people that you walk by. In one of the videos in the play, we got that one family who took the chip. You talk about absolutely blind. Oh, the government loves me. They're going to do the best for me. Put the chip in me so you can find me when I'm lost. Hello. You see, that is absolute blindness. That's somebody who has not read American history. Look at the American Indian and you'll find out what happens when the government gets control of you. You see, and so Blind eyes that are oblivious to truth. That's people living like animals, self-preservation, self-gratification, self-propagation. That's the city dwellers who are blindly following the programming of the media, following the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." How do they live? Who being past feeling, they live by their feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Ephesians 2 describes these folks, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." These are absolutely blind people, just walking around. Now, how would we treat a blind individual, physically blind people? We need to be patient with them. And you got to kind of take them by the arm and walk them around things and warn them, there's a bump up here, and they may bump into it. And you don't say, "Well, you dummy, didn't you see that?" "Of course I didn't see it, stupid." And you see, people are blind to these things. And you see the way the average American is just walking around. They are oblivious to what's going on in this world. They're oblivious to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the gospel. And it's just phenomenal how they can. Now, country folks have been infiltrated by the city through the media. If the media idol, whatever media idol, announced the sale of a new chain ring that attaches their ear, nose, and lip with a beautiful gold chain, you know what you'd see? You'd see these people in line at the store to get this. Blind. Any conservative or liberal idol, soon as the sale of their book goes on, the blind followers would get in line and buy it, not recognizing that the vast majority of those people don't even write the book. They have a ghostwriter writing it. They didn't write it. Billy Graham even did that. And Jerry Falwell had a ghostwriter write his autobiography. The ghostwriter was a sodomite, Mel White. The same guy wrote Billy Graham's book called The Four Coming Hoof Prints of something, something about that. And he had a sodomite write that. He put his name in a book. And the blind Christians get in line and say, "Oh, he's a godly man." Fascinating, amazing. The gospel is hid to them that are lost because it's blinded their minds. 2 Corinthians 4. They're blind to it. Blind, they're oblivious to the truth. And we need to be patient with blind folks. The third category of people down this path, down this road of digression, is blind people with a hard heart toward the truth. The vast majority of blind people walking, they're not really hardened to the truth, they're just blinded to it. The worst group down, the next group down, number three, is they're blind to the truth, but they're hard about it. These are your educated folk. You see, the average common man will never be an atheist. You have to be educated to be an atheist. You got to face education. These educated folks we deal down at Purdue, you know, they're looking in a microscope trying to figure out, "Oh, how did man get here?" You know, when they're looking in a microscope, they see God in there. They don't want to admit that. They don't want to admit God's in there. They're blind eyes with a hardened heart. This is Romans 1. "Formerly educated fools, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And they don't, it doesn't even dawn on their head. "I evolved from a monkey. I think that's intellectual. I think that's stupid." And they're not even logical on it. But they think that's vastly intelligent. Why? They're blind, but they got a hard heart toward God. And as soon as you mention God, ooh, they get upset. You offer them a gospel tract, they won't take the gospel tract, and you smile innocently and say, "I thought you were broad-minded. Weren't you broad-minded? Are you one of those narrow-minded bigots?" "Not me, huh?" "Then take my tract." "Huh?" "Then you're a bigot." They accuse me of being a bigot, but I'll read what they got, but they won't read what I got. That's a pretty rough group to deal with, but there's a worse group than that. The next group down is they have opened eyes. Their eyes were open temporarily, but they closed them when truth offended them. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their eyes were opened. They heard the gospel, made sense to them. They received the gospel, trusted Jesus Christ, started this Christian path, but heard some truth. I can't believe you would say something like that. Well, truth hurts, my friend. The Bible is an offensive book. It has many offensive statements in it. And people are surprised when you make certain statements. How can you say something like that? Mother Teresa's probably burning in hell right now. I can't believe you would say that. Such a fine lady. Read her own words. She said she was in darkness. Her own words said that. Good Friday's a hoax. The Easter Bunny's a joke. Christmas is a pagan holiday. What did you say about Christmas? Truth is often stranger than fiction. The Bible is an offensive book. People get offended by it. You see, their eyes were open to the gospel. They hear the grace of God, what Jesus Christ done. A wonderful thing. Yeah, but what about all these other things? Winston Churchill said, people often stumble across the truth and walk on as if nothing happened. A lot of times you give out a gospel tract, you know what happens to most of those tracts? You have a gospel tract to somebody, they go, may even read it, throw it in a drawer and forget about it. You see, why? The Bible is a forbidden book in several foreign countries. I remember reading about, I think it was when some of the soldiers went into Kuwait, they couldn't bring a Bible with them in Kuwait because that would be offensive to the Muslims. So they'd camouflage it. Hey, if they want our soldiers, they get our Bible too. And if they don't like it, tough apples. We're getting out. That's the way it should be. But the Bible will soon be considered part of the hate crimes legislation. Now I would say this category right here, have opened eyes but have closed them when offended by the truth, is the category for the majority of church attendees. Whatever church you want to call it. Pentecostal, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever. A lot of these people sitting in these churches are saved, but they don't want to hear all the truth because that's too offensive. They've closed their eyes voluntarily because they got offended. Instead of taking the offense and studying it out further and discover, hey, I was wrong and God was right. And I've been listening to the news media too much and should have been reading my Bible and discover that God doesn't agree with the news media. That's category number four. The last one is probably the toughest to deal with. Their eyes were opened. Open to the gospel. They closed them and then hardened their heart because they refused to accept the truth. They got a hard heart in the matter. And you can talk to these people till you're blue in their face and they're not going to talk to you. Some of the hardest people I've ever talked to are former pastors who got offended by some things in the ministry, got offended by something, got out of the ministry, got out of fellowship with God, became an insurance salesman, and don't want to talk anything about God or the Bible. Some of the hardest people you ever talked to. Why? They got a hard heart. You see, this is the worst category because God mercifully opened their eyes and the person received the mercy and grace, but the godly person later believed that his fundamental beliefs and opinions and preferences were better than the whole counsel of God, because that wouldn't help his ministry. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, I know, recognize that this is a doctrinal reference to the tribulation, but the general principle applies here. It's rather fascinating, rather interesting. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he that brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washing or wallowing in the mire. Now, I recognize doctrine that's tribulation past where a man can lose his salvation for the church time period is that their eyes are closed and they get a hard heart toward the things of God. Now, it doesn't mean that they'd quit going to church. They even may have a ministry. Now, this group that I see in that group, probably more than anything, are these fundamental Baptists. God save us from fundamental Baptists. Where they just stick with this little group of beliefs. They use a book that they don't believe for their own benefit and gain, and they won't step outside of their little fundamental beliefs. That's a pretty rough group. And you start trying to show those folks some other Bible doctrines, other ages, they will write you off as a rank heretic. And if they had the guts, they'd take a knife and stab you in the back. They wouldn't do it in the front because they don't have the guts, but they'd want to do it in the back. And it's a very interesting thing to think about something like that. In the Old Testament, in Amos chapter 1, we went through this on a couple Thursday nights, and I thought this was rather interesting. In Amos chapter 1, God brought down fiery judgment upon the Philistines for murder, upon the Moabites for murder, upon the Ammonites for murder, and a couple of the other nations for murder. Understandable, right? Then he had Amos talk about Judah. And he brought the same fiery judgment down on Judah. For what? For apostatizing on the word of God. Now that doesn't seem fair, does it? Bringing a fiery judgment down on murderers versus people who simply don't want to believe God's word. What's wrong with that? To whom much is given, much is required. Why? Because the one down that path, eventually, if they keep going down that path, they'll kill you over religion. They start with apostasy. This is why judgment begins at the house of God. This is why he says in 2 Timothy, there will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine, will heap to themselves teachers. Who knows sound doctrine? Not unsaved people. It has to be saved people who knows what sound doctrine is, and they refuse to accept the sound doctrine. And you know what the Lord says about that crowd? From such, withdraw thyself. Now, he does say about that crowd, do as they say, but don't do as they do. I can listen to them preach the word of God and get a blessing out of it and find some things, but boy, you think they're going to listen to a Bible believer? Not on your life. That is the toughest crowd. You see? Opened eyes. Their eyes were open to the gospel, but they closed them, hardened their heart, and refused to accept the truth. Now, I'm not saying a person should not pay attention to these folks, because the Lord says in Matthew 23, do as they say. So that means we can listen to them, as we can listen to anybody. But do not as they do. And Matthew 23 is some of the most scathing words that Jesus Christ ever preached. Who did he preach it at? The people that were soon to crucify him. Now, they're not going to crucify Jesus Christ today, but you know what book they're going to crucify? That book. That old King James Bible. They use it, but don't believe it. And once they're done using it, they'll dump it. God sees that heart. You see, and where the Lord wants us all to keep our heart tender towards our God, so each and every one of us can, when Jesus knocks on our heart's door about some truth, any truth, we accept that truth, and we believe that truth, and we sup and eat with Jesus Christ. Because the heart needs to be retained tender towards God so you might continue down that path. Avoiding that hard heart. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help each and every one of us to continue to ask you to open our eyes to the truth. from whatever source you choose to send that. Help us to receive the truth. Honest heart, holy heart, humble heart. And Lord, in this process of trying to walk with Thee and trying to tell others about You, just in the natural living of life, we're going to be hurt by somebody. We're going to be offended. We're going to be hurt bad. Lord, I pray You'd help us to keep a tender heart, a gentle heart. Help us to be patient with blind folks. And Lord, when we're being patient, trying to help blind folks to open their eyes to the gospel, help us recognize when the blindness has been encased in a hard heart, to know what to do, and ask You, Lord, that You might keep our heart tender toward Thee. Help us to have a faithful heart toward Thee. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. The altar's open if you need it. Children often have a very tender heart towards the Lord. And in the process, when a child gets offended, gets hurt by someone they love, someone they admired, their heart gets a little hard. And I've noticed that the children are getting hard quicker. Because in this age with so much wickedness going on, they get hurt quicker in life. Probably one of the hardest groups to preach at are some young men, like in a juvenile home that's been hurt bad. Trying to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a wounded animal. Heart's been hurting. So we ask the Lord to tenderize our heart. Keep it tender by spending time in the Word of God every single day. And ask the Lord to open our eyes to the truth. If that truth goes contrary to our thinking, help us to accept the truth. If it goes contrary to our actions, help us to repent and acknowledge the truth. That's what godliness is. Godliness is simply acknowledging the truth. Lord, I do thank You for Your goodness, for Your blessings. Lord, I do pray You'd help us to be people that acknowledge the truth. Whatever source it comes from, help us, Lord, to keep a tender heart towards Thee. Tender heart towards folks. Help us to be patient with blind folk. Lord, help us to have discernment to recognize a hard heart. And Lord, I just pray You'd help us to be people that have an honest heart, holy heart, humble heart towards Thee, so You might give us truth that we need to know in order to walk with Thee, be faithful to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll be dismissed.